Good morning, saints. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Give it up for the moms. Amen. Alrighty. So good morning and welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Amen. Let's give it up for our pastor today. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you guys to stand. We're going to say a prayer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Sunday. We thank you for another Mother's Day Sunday, Lord Jesus. I ask that you bless every mother standing before me this Sunday. I ask that you bless every mother watching on YouTube and Facebook Live. Lord, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. Despite the pain to bringing children into this world, Lord, we thank you for the responsibility and the opportunity to grow life inside of a woman's body. God, only you can create something so beautiful. We thank you for the adopted mothers. We thank you for the foster mothers out there. We thank you for the strength and the care that you give us to love your children, Lord Jesus. We thank you for every grandmother, every great-grandmother, every great-great-great-grandmother, Lord Jesus. We thank you for their wisdom and legacy, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the mothers and the grandmothers that are not here today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for their legacy, Lord Jesus. We ask that you comfort their loved ones on this day, Lord Jesus. And though this day may bring sadness, Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking our loved ones to glory, Lord Jesus. Because you say that this world is not our home, Lord Jesus. But to be in the presence of you is our home. Lord Jesus, I ask that every mother feel appreciated today, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love, your grace, and just everything you have been to us in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have our scripture. I will be coming, short and sweet scripture, I'll be coming from Isaiah 66:13. Say amen if you have it. Amen. All right. As one whom is mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Amen. Well, sure it is sweet. Amen. Amen. So I just want to make an announcement. We do have to my left. We have a table with the candles for those who mother are deceased and you want to honor your mother. Feel free to go over and light a candle in their memory. Amen. 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 You guys may be seated. Amen. So it says a sermonic selection on here next. I don't see her. So, you guys are stuck with me. And I'm gonna need y'all to sing with me because I'm not a singer, okay? So let me see. What we gonna say? Let's do What a Mighty God, okay? All right, come on, stand up because y'all gonna have to help me now. Let's go. Stretch it out, let's go, okay. Let's go, What a Mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels, Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Come on. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. We want to switch it up. Say, Jesus, Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God. Is the God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. I can't hear y'all. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. One more time. What a mighty God we serve. Okay. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Now we got the real singer is here, okay? So we're going to call up our sister Leah Reed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a real singer. It's that we are all preparing the atmosphere, that we all join in together to sing praises unto our Lord and Savior, because he is a mighty God. There is nobody like our Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's such a faithful God. Hallelujah. He's such an awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because for me, in son, that's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, my heart and my mind. Heart, my mind, my soul. You paid the price way back on Calvary. That's why I lift you up and magnify. Hey, that's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, my heart and my mind. That's why I lift you up and magnify. lift you up and magnify. Thank you, Lord. Hey, that's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. He desires to hear and give him praise. That's why. That's why my heart. Is your heart filled on today? So why my heart is filled with praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good morning and God bless you. I'm going to take advantage of you standing. That way you don't have to go down and get back up. So wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day. And while you're standing, let's turn our attention right to the Word of God. We're coming this morning out of Mark, the 13th chapter. Okay? I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. Going to add to the witness out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3:15. Amen. So that's what we're going to work from this morning. Mark, the 13th chapter. And we're going to look at the first 13 verses. And then we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. Amen. Everybody have a Bible, electronically or hard copy if you need one, just slip your hand in the air. Cause we got work in front of us this morning, so I want to make sure everyone has, their own, the Bible in their hand. Amen? You have that? Okay. So I'm going to begin reading Mark 13 and 1. Amen? And before we get into it, I realize it's Mother's Day, right? But this is an important chapter in the book of Mark. Amen? So I want to make sure we are paying attention. Amen? Because this is important. Amen? We're good? All right, here we go. Just want to kind of set the stage. It says, then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answered and said to him, Do you see these great buildings? He said, Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, Andrew, they asked him privately, and they said, Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? Jesus, answering them, began to say, Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen. But the end is not yet. Are you with me? Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, you will be beaten in the synagogues, you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. Are you guys listening to this stuff? And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand. Do not premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. If you're not excited by now, I don't know when you're going to get excited. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his own child. Children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 13, this is it. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. That's a good word. Whether you realize it or not, that's a good word. Come on, let's add to the witness. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Verse 15 says there, today you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the time of rebellion. Right? Today you'll hear his voice and make a decision not to harden your heart. Like your fathers did in the time of rebellion. Amen. You're almost done. You're almost in your seat, the cushy seats. You're almost there. We're going to bow our heads, have this word of prayer before we go into the word of God. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord God, we lift up all mothers to you today. Grant them the strength to face the daily challenges with courage and the wisdom to guide their children towards a life of faith and service in you. Encourage them when they are weary and inspire them when they feel overwhelmed. Bless them with your peace and love, both now and forever. Amen. And on your way to your seats, once again, happy Mother's Day. Amen. Thank God for you. Thank God for all of our mothers here today. There are many things which mothers do well, right? There are many things. As we grow older, we actually grow oftentimes more fonder of the things that our mothers do and have done, especially for us. But there are many things mothers do well. But there is one thing, in my opinion, that I feel mothers do exceptionally well. Okay? They do a lot of things good. But in my opinion, there's one thing that I think all mothers, majority of mothers, do extremely well. And that is preparing their children for the future. That's that. When I look back and look at the totality of them, they do a lot of stuff. But the one thing that I think they do exceptionally well is to prepare their children for tomorrow, right? I look at my own wife and I look at our three boys and where they are in their stage of life. It seems that she is focused on getting them ready for tomorrow. Right? And that, you know, at that stage, you're like, hey. And so when I look at some of the things I take note of, she's focused on teaching them now how to cook. Why? Because tomorrow's coming. Right? And she's trying to prepare them for the future, right? And y'all say amen real loud to this because they over there and I want them to hear this. Because at some point, the boys got to do what? They got to leave home. You got to go, Doc. This home belongs to me and your mother, not. I thought y'all would help me. I tried to set it up, but in order to ensure that happens, someone must be working every day to what? Prepare them what? For tomorrow. Right? Right? She's teaching them how to cook. She's teaching them, how to clean. Right? Gotta learn how to clean your room. You gotta learn how to clean the bathroom. Right? Because you're gonna be hard pressed once you leave here and have your own place. If you don't know how to keep your place clean, right, you're not going to have any friends. Nobody's going to want to come over and hang out at your house, right? So you've got to, she's teaching them today, this is what you've got to learn now so that when you get out on your own, you are prepared for success. Got to learn how to cook clean. Got to learn how to wash and fold your own clothes. Right? Because when you get out on your own, there's nobody, if you don't wash them, guess what? They won't get washed. That pile will just keep growing until it's as tall as you are. Right? Right? You're getting a pass now because she's willing to wash it for you, right? Sometimes, but really what she wants to do is instruct you in how to wash them so that you're prepared for what? Tomorrow. Look at somebody and tell them tomorrow's coming. Right? And so I think mothers are uniquely equipped at preparing their children for tomorrow. Okay? So you got that. I got to add this one. I put this in my notes. Special. Teaching them how to cook, clean, wash, and fold it. And probably the most important, right? She's teaching them how to take care of their hair. Somebody say, preach, Pastor Ford. I'm telling the truth. If you see how much time she spends, and she's not unique in this, because young men and their hair, that's a thing now. If you don't know, I didn't think it was a thing. Because we just go get a haircut like the rat hair, sit out in the barber, zip, zip, you're done. But now, no, I can't pay them for me to take them to the barber shop. Like, yo, just get a cut like mine. I'll pay for it. No, they want dreadlocks. They want twists. You know what I mean? And once you start doing all that, now your mom's got to, you got to take care of your hair. You got to wash it. You got to put conditioner in it. When I was young, that's what girls did. Your mom would sit down and could do your sister's hair and stay up all night and talk. They do it now, but it ain't with girls. She's doing it with the boys. I'm like, what in the world? But that's, she's trying to get them ready for tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow they're going to have to what? Buy their own hair care products. Stop living out of your mom's, get your own conditioner, your own grease, your own. When we were young, we wore stocking caps. Now, I'm not going to tell you what they wear. I woke up in my house, I thought women had broken into my house. They got hair bags on. They got satin up. I thought women had broken my house. They talking about, what's up, Dad? But Jermaine's doing her best to try to prepare them for what? For tomorrow. Right? Right? Good. Now, here we are. Now we're going to get into it. Now, contrary to motherly wisdom, right? Which is preparing their children for tomorrow. Today's text, what we're looking at today, Mark 13, provides godly counsel which focuses us as disciples not on tomorrow, but on today. That's, you may not have picked that up, but that's what 13 is about. And that's why we got to work through it. I know it's Mother's Day, but we got work to do before you go out to brunch. Okay? That way. So are mothers innately qualified at preparing us for tomorrow? But Jesus Christ comes and gives us godly counsel and focuses our attention not on tomorrow, but on today. Are you guys with me? Here it is, Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. Do not boast. Do not worry. Don't brag. Don't go around talking about what you're going to. Tomorrow's not promised. The only thing that you have for certainty is all you got. That's all you got. And so it's up to you and I to do what? Make the most out of today while we can. Tomorrow's not promised. You can put that stuff off till tomorrow and thinking you'll get to it, but you may not. Right? So here it is. Help me preach it. Raise your hand if you have known of anyone that this year, we're 5 months in, that has passed away unexpectedly. Didn't see it coming. Who? So, he's not even 30 yet. She's not even 40 yet. And just like that. You follow what I'm saying? If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. We're into the text now. Then he went out of the temple. One of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Now everybody look at me. If you're with me in the spirit, the whole sermon is right there. If you're not, that's okay, because this is tricky territory. But if you're with me in the spirit, the whole sermon's right there. Listen what Mark says. Then, so what is the then for? The then is, you remember a couple months ago, I was preaching through Mark 12. And the summation of Mark 12 is this. Jesus came against and dismantled the authority of the temple. If you remember that, January, February, back when I was preaching, one right after another, he kept coming up against the authorities in the temple. First the Pharisees, then the Sadducees, then the Herodians, then the chief priests, then the Lord. One right after another. Boom, boom. He just kept going after them. Right? Because he was coming against their authority. And the only thing they could ask him is, by what authority are you doing these things? So he has dismantled the authority in the temple. Right? Mark picks it up and then says, then Jesus, look what he says, left the temple. Right? Here it is. He not only left physically, but as God, he left spiritually. Signifying what? What he had been doing in chapter 12. He was trying to signify to everyone that the authority is no longer in the temple. Mark said he left the temple. Got them walked out. They still following him. They still asking him questions. He just got up and left. Right? Get this. Here's your sermon. Then one of his disciples, not a Pharisee, not one of the chief priests or the scribes, Not one of the Herodians, right? You get where I'm going? Not one of those who were in authority in the temple, but a guy who had walked with him for these 3 years, said to him, are you with me? Look what he said. Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Do you get that? I want you to hear his voice. Hear the question. He's excited when he points this out. Jesus leaving the temple, turning his back on it, walking out, signifying that the presence of the Lord is, the authority is no longer. He's walking out. And while he's walking out, one of his disciples said, Jesus, look at how beautiful this temple is. That's what he's saying. You got to get this. Because if you don't get it, you'll miss it. Jesus is walking out. He's turning his back on the temple. But one of his disciples comes to him, look, and says, Jesus, turn around and look at how beautiful Herod's temple is. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said, I'm done with it. But the ones closest to him are missing the picture. And they've been with him for 3 years. Instead of understanding the significance of the teacher leaving, they want the teacher to join with them and marvel. If you got it, say, I got it. That's the sermon. If I don't say any more, there it is. That's the sermon. Here it is. Get this. See if this helps you. The magnitude of Herod's temple and the stones used to construct it exceeded in size any other temple in the entire ancient world, including Solomon's. What they were looking at was the biggest and baddest thing ever built. Are you with? Herod spared no expense in building this temple, right? And so on the one hand, I can understand why the disciples marveled at it. It was literally one of the wonders of the ancient world. So I understand why the disciples, man, look at this. This place is, it's huge. There's gold everywhere. Look at the brazen altar. Look at the splendid work. Look at the columns. You ever read Herod's temple? It'll just blow you away. They just keep going on and on, describing how opulent it was. Are you with me? So now, so you got that. Now watch this. This is Matthew 12:6. This is the sermon if you get it. Here, Jesus says, he says, I say to you that in this place, there is one greater than the temple. That's Jesus. This is Matthew 12:6. Go to it. That's, you can have the witness. You ain't got to take my word for it. This is in your Bible. Jesus said, yet I say to you that in this place, there is one greater than the temple. Jesus was leaving the temple because Jesus Christ had become greater than the temple. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Then say you got to be in the temple. Says you got to be in the spirits. You got to be in the truth. The truth is what? The word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word. Once again, he was trying to tell them, there is someone standing in front of you right now who is greater than the temple. Had the authorities of the temple, had his own disciples understood the significance of that, instead of marveling at the temple and the human wisdom and human construction, they would have changed their focus and would have marveled at the true temple, which is Jesus Christ. Get this. They were focused on the wrong thing. And if you don't think I'm preaching, I don't know what you're thinking. I'm so far down the road, Shanita. They were focused on the wrong thing, right? Here, let's keep going. Let's get out of it, because I do. You got to make your reservations, because I'm not paying. So Jesus answered. Here's two. He said, do you see these great buildings that you're so impressed with, that you're so taken aback with? Jesus said, look, you see them. Look, you want me to look? Now you look. Jesus said, there will not be a stone left upon another stone, said of all you see. What he was telling, he said, what you see, both literally and figuratively, is going to come to nothing. He said, look at it now. He said, it won't be long. All of it is going to come down. Right? This is a shock. What? Herod's temple was three times the size of Solomon's temple. It had taken them over 60 years to build it. It's going to come what? And Jesus said it's not going to come down. Jesus said it's going to come all the way down. There won't even be one stone left on top of another. Usually when a place falls down, some of it's down. A wall keeps standing. A corner stays up. It don't get nothing. Jesus said the whole thing coming down. And the boys are shocked. What? How can this be? Look, let's keep reading. Not one stone shall be left upon another. Verse 3. And so he leaves the temple. He goes over to the Mount of Olives, which was right next door. And he sits on the Mount of Olives. And he looks back at the temple. So he didn't get out of Dodge. He just went next door. He looks back at the temple from the Mount of Olives. Read what it says. Then there, it was that Peter, James, John, and they come to him, Jesus sitting down. He's finished dismantling the authority of the temple and those in leadership. He's now given a word of prophecy to his disciples that they don't yet understand. And so now he's on the Mount of Olives, and he's looking back at the temple. And the boys come to him, and look what they asked him, verse 4. They said, tell us when these things will be. Are you seeing this? What will be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Are you guys with me? Let me paraphrase. Let me tell you what they're saying. What they're saying is this. They're saying, Jesus, when will this happen? This is the destruction of the temple. What signs will take place before it happens? They're going to say, when will it happen? And what things are going to take place before it happens so that we can be prepared for when it happens. Are you following this conversation? Jesus said it's coming down. They immediately say when. Not only when, they tell us what stuff is going to happen before. Because to take a place like this down, that don't happen overnight. So what are going to be the things leading up to it so that we can know that your words are about to be fulfilled on this house? Right? That's the questions they're asking, right? Are you with me? Here it is. Now we're into it now. Verse 5. Jesus answered. Look at what Jesus said. Notice their questions. Their questions are all focused on what? They're focused on the building, but more importantly, they're focused on tomorrow. Everything they asked Jesus was about what? The future. When is it going to come down? What things are going to happen before? They were all focused on. Jesus is literally days away from being crucified. But all the boys could focus on was the future. Right? Do you see that happening? Now listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus got to do a course correction. He says, take heed. Right? Are you with me? Let me work this take heed for you. This Greek word literally means to see. Right? And it is often used, as it is here, get this, to mean keep your eyes open or beware of today. Did I lose you? Or are you still with me? They're focused on what? Tomorrow. Jesus says, take heed of today. You're focused on something that, yeah, it's going to come. You may or may not be here. So why you are overly concerned about something that is in the future when here in the present you are missing the opportunity of a life? Why? Because in your presence today is one greater than the and I'm right here in front of you. You're worried about a man-made temple that will not stand the test of time, and you're ignoring the holy temple of God, which is in your presence right now. Are you with me? If you're with me, look at somebody and tell them, stay focused. But yet you got to follow this sermon. When I say stay focused, I'm saying staying focused on when? Today. Not tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow is not promised. Are you with me? Let me add the witness to you so you know I'm not making it up. Here it is. Before I get it. The disciples, both then and the disciples now, us, you and I, always want to know the future. But Jesus directs them unflinchingly to the present. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. Beginning in verse 5 and throughout the remaining chapter, there is a running admonition against future speculation at the expense of present obedience. I stayed up all night to write that. Y'all need to respond better than that. I'm going to read it again. See what kind of reaction I get. Here it is. The disciples then and the disciples now were focused on knowing the future. But Jesus redirects them. Says, you got to change your focus. You're looking at the wrong things. Right? He redirects it and says, watch out that no one deceives you. He's trying to get them to understand that when folks want to deceive you, they're going to deceive you about tomorrow. Because it's not here yet. So they can say anything they want. Why? You can't prove it. Tomorrow ain't happening. What they are less able to trick you about is what is happening right now. I wish I had my real church. My real church would take me, oh my goodness. If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. Beginning in verse 5 and throughout the remainder of this entire chapter, there is a running admonishment against future speculation at the expense of present obedience. I'm telling you, that's the sermon. If I stop now, you got it. They were focused on the wrong thing. They were focused about tomorrow. Jesus was trying to tell them what you really need to focus on is today. They were focused on the wrong temple. Jesus was trying to tell them you need to focus on the right temple. Because in just a few days, it's all going to change. So now is your opportunity. Now look at the witness. The witness says, today, if you hear my voice, now is your chance. The temple's right. Jesus said, I'm right here. You can believe in me right now and be saved. But you got to do it today. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Help me preach. Tell somebody, say, you got to stay focused. Here it is. On verse 6 and 7, here it is. We're working our way down. Take heed. No one. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. And they're going to get a lot of people. This is in your Bible. They're going to come and they are going to say, I'm the Messiah. They're going to come and they're going to say, I am the real Son of God. And many folks are going to follow because they are so focused on tomorrow. They miss the realities of today. Are you with me? Here it is. Let's keep going. And so he said, you got that. Then he's going to say, but when you hear of wars, rumors of wars, look at what he said. Don't be troubled. Right? Why? For such things must happen. He said, all right, I'm going to give you a little something for you. He said, folks are going to come and say they're me. He said, you're going to start hearing about wars and rumors of wars. Can anybody in the church say amen? Every day on our television is what? Wars, rumors of wars, right? But watch this. Look what he said. I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as I am. He said, look here. He said, my name, they're going to say they're me. Wars, rumors of wars. But he said, look, don't be troubled. For these things must happen. This is the best part of that whole verse. Get this. But the end is not yet. If you would focus on the right things, right, you wouldn't be so overly concerned or deceived regarding tomorrow. But when the end does come, right, and you start hearing about false prophets, people setting themselves up in religious garbs to be the Christ, the Messiah. When you start hearing about wars and rumors of war, he said, look, one, don't be troubled. Why? Because I told you. But the other thing he said, don't be troubled. Get this, because the end is not yet. Jesus is laying this thing down. I mean, he just laying it one. I mean, if you don't get it, that's your own fault. He just laying it down. He said, all of this stuff is going to happen. And if you weren't focused on the right temple, you would think the end is coming. Who wouldn't think the end is coming with all these wars? But every day it seemed like a new war break out. Somebody else is now killing, right? We look at what's happening on our street, in our community, and the times are growing worse and worse. And if you weren't careful, you would think the end is happening right now. Jesus comes with a word for the church today and say, wait a second, calm down. The end is not yet. It's coming, but it's not now. Here it is. Let's keep going, because I see you're more focused on lunch than the word. Here we go. He said 8:9, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquake in various places, famine, and all sorts of trouble, right? Raise your hand if you know global warming is real. It's happening all day. Just like you hear rumors of war, you hear more and more about global war. Why? Because the earth, the order that God has put in place, is imploding. Sin is starting to get its grip on nature. You follow what I'm saying? And things are no longer operating the way God designed it. Watch this. In the garden. I wish I had a real church. My real church would help. My real church would know what I'm talking about. Here it is. Famine, all this stuff going. 9. But he says this. Just like he said above, take heed. Now 9, he says, watch out for yourselves. And again, this is an admonishment to watch out for yourself today. Watch out for yourselves, right? Here it is. This was going to happen. They're going to deliver you the councils. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be brought against authorities, just like he was just brought before authorities of the temple. But he says, look, all of this is happening for me. It's not you they're after. He said, it's for me. So he gets this. This is important. He says, your trouble gets me glory. Are you with me this Sunday? This is what he's saying. All this stuff is going to happen to you because of me. Right? And what it's going to do, what he's getting ready to explain, it's going to open an opportunity for you to speak to people you would never have the chance in your life to speak to. This is why you got to focus on today. Jesus is telling them, it's not going to be your accomplishments. We have so much trouble with this, right? Because I think sometimes we mispreach, maybe, if I could say it that way. Because we hear the word of God says, your gifts will bring you before great men. So we falsely assume they bring us before great men because great men love our gifts. Sister Helena, that may be true. Watch this. Some of the times. But the majority of the times, it's going to bring you before great men because they hate your God. But then, it doesn't matter, look at somebody and say, it doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there. But once God gives you that platform, right now I'm in the verse 9, 10, and 11 now, that's when he's going to stir up your gift. In the face of trouble, not pleasure, happiness, and good times, but when you're under pressure, when you're under resentment, because of your love for God. God said, I'm going to open the door. Look at somebody say, there's an open door. He said, look, it ain't going to be against you for my sake. And it's going to be a testimony, not only for them, but against them. Why? Verse 10, because the gospel must be preached. Look at somebody and say, preach a little while. All of us must be willing, able, and ready to preach the good news concerning Jesus Christ. Everywhere God takes us, every opportunity that He gives us, it's an opportunity to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Here it is. Let me get out. Let me finish with it. Here it is. He says, but when they arrest you, deliver you up. Look at somebody and say, don't worry. Be happy. I wish I had my real church. Don't worry. Be happy. Watch this. So I want you to be happy because hopefully by now you're no longer focused on tomorrow. Look at somebody. He said, I got your attention now. Now help me. You tell me if I'm saying this right. Nothing gets your attention more than a little trouble. Oh my goodness. You might not ever pray if it wasn't for the person of trouble. There is something about trouble that causes you to get on your knees. There is something about trouble that causes you to seek God. There's something about trouble that does more for you than good preaching, good praying, good praise. Trouble will drive you on your knees. Trouble will drive you to turn your plate down. Trouble has a way. Here it is. Here it is. I got to get out of this. He said, look, rest you. He said, look, don't worry. He said, nor give any thought to what you're going to say. He said, all I need you to do is stand. Right? The word of God says what? Having done all to stand. He says what? Stand. After you stood as long as you can stand, and for the longest time, I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand that scripture. You just said, having done all to stand. Meaning you have done everything, I'm getting ready to give you the answer, under your own power to stand. Done everything you know to stand. And now you're out of strength, out of energy. But then the word of God says, having done all to stand, He says, stand ye therefore. So if I've expended everything that I have to stand, who is standing on that second stand? Because it can't be me. I'm tired. Alina, I'm worn out. I can't go no further. I can't take another day. I'm literally at my wit's end. But if I'm able to stand for the remainder of today, and then if He picks me up and I'm able to stand again tomorrow, I'm no longer standing in my power. Now the power of God has kicked in my life. So any stand you see this week, that's not me standing. That's the power of God Himself quickening me, stirring me, picking me up, turning me around, placing my feet on solid. Look at somebody and say, stand anyhow. Here it is. You just keep on standing. And when the time to speak comes, I hate to say it, all too often, this is where we mess it up. We're standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, I say. But then comes the opportunity to speak. And all too often, we fail to speak properly. Again, like I said, may not be your fault, it may be our fault for not preaching it correctly. We think it's a time to talk about our gifts. Because we misunderstood the word of God. We assume I got here because of my gifts. No, when in reality, I got here because of my trouble. That's why the Bible writer says it was good for me to have been afflicted. Why? Because it moved me to a new place in God. I went higher because of my affliction. So now when the opportunity comes to speak, he says, rely on the Holy Spirit. He will give you what to say. Because if we speak, there's a great potential we'll speak about tomorrow. Why? Because that's what we're focused on. Jesus, when will these things happen? Jesus, when will the end come? You're so future focused. So if you get an opportunity to speak, all too often we speak about tomorrow. When what God really wants us to speak about is today. That's why I brought you here at this time. Isn't that the word to Ruth? Ruth, maybe you were called for such a time as this. Because God said, I'm going to give you the platform at the right. But when I give you the opportunity to speak, you got to let me speak and not yourself. Because God, listen, and I'm finished. God has a word for today. That's what the word of God is for. It is for whatever is ailing you today. You guys with me? I'm going to give you 13 and I'm done with it. Here it is. We made it to the end. So here we are. He said, then you're going to, verse 12, you're going to have family rivalries, and you're seeing that happen. Verse 13, this is it. It's tricky, but we're going to get it because it's important. You'll be hated, and again, for my name's sake. But here's the thing. This is what we got to get. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Get this, and I'm done. This endurance that is spoken of here by Mark does not produce salvation. Right? The number one tool in Bible study, if you heard me say it once, I said it 1,000 times. Your number one tool in Bible study is to learn how to read your Bible slower. Because if you read this too quickly, most people read that and say, okay, because the guy endured, he's saved. Right? But when you really get in your Bible, I hope you got a good Bible and study this thing out. It is not because he endures that he's saved. He is saved because the Holy Spirit has empowered him to endure. Right? Right? So he is saved when? Before the trouble comes. Right? And because he has salvation before, because he has the presence of the Holy Spirit before, when trouble comes, hating you for my name's sake, you will be able to stand. I told you that second stand is not you. Stand ye though with your arms girded about, having done all to say, that second stand is not you. That's him that is in you. Is now standing. I wish I had a real church. I'm telling you, that's it. He's now standing for you. And so the reality is, you and I don't endure, but Christ does. And because my life is hid in Christ, good God help me, by faith, because he stands, I am now also able to stand. You look at me and you marvel at me. But it's not me, but him that is in me, which is greater than he that is in the world. Look at somebody and say, keep on standing. So here it is. My Mother's Day message is found in the witness. It's contrary to motherly wisdom, right? And fatherly advice, where we encourage you to prepare for tomorrow, right? As a preacher, my message this Sunday is that while it is still today, all you have to do is hear his voice. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not after you get a next job, not after you finally get married, not after you start, but today. Look at somebody and say, today, the only thing you can do is worry about. He said, all you have to do today, while the temple is right in front of you, harden not your heart. So many people miss the opportunity to come into his presence today because they're focused about tomorrow. 80% of the time when I check in with people, how you doing, what's going on? Hey, I haven't seen you in a while, blah, blah, blah. Well, Pastor, you know I have this coming up. You know it's this time of the year, and you know at this time of the year I have this happening at the end of the month. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with those things, but that's tomorrow. What are you doing about your soul? Me, today. Today. The witness. You got the witness. He said, if you'll hear my voice. You know what you can do today? You can accept Christ as your personal Savior. Today. If you were serious, you could receive the Holy Ghost. If you wanted your body healed, you know what you could do today? You could get healed. You wouldn't have to wait till tomorrow. You wouldn't have to wait till the test come back. You wouldn't have to wait till the doctor could say, you could get healed today. But the ruler of this air, the ruler of this world, has got us so focused on tomorrow. What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do next week? You know that bill is due next month. What are we going to do? Well, I tell you one thing. I don't know what we're going to do about that. But I can tell you what I'm going to do about this. This is what the song says. What? This is the day that the Lord has made. He says, "What? I'm going to rejoice today. Can't worry about next week. I can't worry about the 15th of June. I can only worry about today." And he says, "If you harden not your heart, I know what worldly wisdom has taught you, which is to focus on tomorrow." There's nothing wrong with that. There is some earthly wisdom in that. But if you want to be spiritually aligned with the authority greater than the temple, he's telling you, focus on today. Things can change for you today. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to wait until you get a better dress. You don't have to wait until you get a good suit and tie. You don't have to wait. You can come today. I'm asking those who are going to work with me this Sunday, come. Come on. Come up to this altar. Because God is saying there is an opportunity for you today. And I know it's Mother's Day and we got to get you down the road. But I would be remiss if I didn't open the altar of God. Because after hearing the word of God, maybe something has changed in your spirit. That finally it caused you to realize, I don't have to wait. I don't have to put it off another week. I can come to Jesus today. Before I go out to Mother's Day, God can change my life. Before I meet my son at the restaurant, before I meet my grandchildren at the, something can happen in my life today. And I don't have to wait till they call me. I've waited for people to call me all my life, and guess what? They never call me. They never choose me. They never pick me. But today, God says, I have chosen you. All you got to do, the altar's open. Whatever you want. He said, whatever you need, just come. But you got to come today. Tomorrow's not promised to you, to me, or to anyone else. So as I close out this message, if there is something that you need or want from God, this is all I can tell you. Come today. The altar is open. You can come right now. Yes, I got the word of God. God used that message to change my focus. And I don't have to wait on someone else. And I don't have to wait on something else. I can come to God right now. I can get blessed right now. I can get healed right now. I can get delivered right now. If I would just hear his voice. You're here this Sunday. Whatever's on your heart between you and God, come, let us pray with you. And let us pray for you that God would do something today in your life, in your spirit, in your secret place. Here am I, Lord. I'm right here. And I need you today. Here am I. Come on, Bryce. Come on. Come on. I'm a young man. And I need God today. The difficulty for young people, they believe they can do it in their own strength. Of course, they haven't got old yet. But all you got to do is live a little while. And you're really, time will show you that strength dissipates. You don't get more strength as you get older. You get less. But if you would find God now as a young person, He'll let you walk and not get weary. God will show you how to run and not faint. He'll show you how He's going to bring you into tomorrow based on a decision you make today. If you're here, the altar's open. If you're joining us online, you're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, and you say, Pastor, I've got a need today. You don't understand. I wish to God I was there in that church. If I was in that church this Sunday, I'd be laying on the altar, Pastor. I'd be rolling. Y'all would have to carry me up because I got some stuff that I need God to do today. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So if you're watching virtually, I'm here to tell you God will do it today. I'm here to tell you that we're going to pray right now for you. You're not here, but God is. We don't know your issues, but God does. And He has promised today you will hear His voice and not harden in your heart, not draw back from Him, but come to Him boldly. God told me to tell you He's going to do it today. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I peer out into this camera, out into the internet. Father, I pray now that your anointing would flow, move out of this pulpit and out over the internet and into that house, that apartment, that kitchen, that living room. And by the power of the living God, touch them. Refocus them. By your own power, do it today. Do it today. If you receive this prayer, before the day's out, I want to hear you on the chat. I want to see your emails. I want you to know that, Pastor, I received that prayer. And God began to move in my life today. It wasn't until tomorrow. It wasn't until later in the week that I believed. When I asked them, well, when did it happen? They said, oh, it happened Sunday. The same time we prayed, stuff began to move in your life and in your situation. Why? Because of what God can do today. 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 Father, we thank you for your word. Thy word is true. Thy word gives light. Thank you that I'm better today than I was yesterday. Why? Because I heard your word. I didn't harden my heart. I didn't draw back. I didn't put it off till tomorrow. But I came while you were calling. Just a reminder to everybody. You can only come when He calls. I know you're trying to wait for when it's right for you. But when the time is right for you, it may not be right for God. That's why He said, the day you hear. When you hear my voice, He said, that's when I'm ready to move in your life. Today, I'm ready to fix it now. But if you want to put me off until next week, and next month, next year, who knows what will happen tomorrow? So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you and we give you the glory. You know what we can do today? we can praise God today. We don't have to wait for Wednesday night prayer. We don't need Friday night prayer meeting. We can praise God today. While I have a chance, while I got breath in my body, while I got strength in my arms, while I got voice in my mouth, I can give the Lord a praise today. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord God shall be praised. I can praise him today. That's what I can do. That's what I can do. I can open my mouth. I can clap my hands. I can stomp my feet. I can give him glory right now. That's what I can do. That's what I can do. I can tell of his goodness right now. I don't have to wait. I don't have to put it off. I can give the Lord glory right now. Yes, I can. Tell I thank you. I thank you for your patience this morning. Because this is tough terrain. It's not easily interpreted. Therefore, it is not easily understood. And I'm just grateful that you gave me on a Mother's Day time to just work it out. Because that's what he did with the disciples. He sat on the Mount of Olives and just took his time. He just started working it out. He's saying, when you see those things, he said, look, but not yet. That's not the end. That stuff's going to happen, but that won't be the end. That will not be the parousia, the second coming of Christ. That won't be it. Those things must happen. And you sit down because you've been standing. I give you this. Holy Ghost took me over it, but I'm going to give it to you. This is what it says. And I'm finished. We're going to get out of here. Somewhere, verse 10, 11, it says this words. This is why this is so appropriate for a Mother's Day. It says, this is the beginning of sorrows. Did you see that in there? 11, 12. So this is the beginning of sorrows. I got enough mothers in here to help me get this point over. When I studied that out, you know what that phrase, the beginning of sorrows, refers to? It refers to female pregnancy. Study it, read it. It's in your Bible. Study it out. He said, when you see things getting worse, he said, that's not the end. That's the beginning. And just like a mother in pregnancy, the labor pains at the beginning are not severe. They hurt. They're painful, but watch this. They're not as painful as they're going to be. I got enough mothers in here to help me. Y'all can put this on. But watch this. As you get closer to the end of pregnancy, the pain becomes, from what they tell me, unbearable. Jesus used that wording specifically. This is how you know the end is coming. When trouble and calamity gets unbearable. buried. That's what he's telling you. You want to know when these things shall be? You want to know when the Son of Man is going to appear? He said, when you see all of these signs, he said, that'll just be the beginning. You're nothing more than a woman in her first trimester. The wrath of God has not yet been poured out. Now you see, now it makes sense when he says, but he that endures, my God, shall be, if you can endure the birth pains of the end, if like a woman you can go full term and not quit, not throw in the towel, but depend on to help you bear down. Set your shoulders back. That doctor says, look, you got to push one more time. Because this last push is going to release the glory. Because in pregnancy, the glory is what? The birth of the baby. When that baby comes out, the mother has forgotten. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if
never existed.
It never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the glory is so great. If you can understand this, and I got mothers there, if you can understand, he's saying that's what the second coming of Christ is going to be like. The signs will be that the condition of the world will be deplorable. They'll be to the point where they can't get any worse. The beginning of sorrows, that's the beginning of the tribulation period. 7 years broken up into two halves, three and a half of one. The beginning of sorrows, that's the first half of the tribulation. After the rapture of the church. He said, if you make it through that, you make it to the second half of the tribulation. You make it to the final trimester. 3.5 years. With the wrath of God. Now, these are the bold judgments in Revelation being poured out on them. He said, if you're able to make it, he said, the only way you're going to make it is that Christ be in
right.
Left up to you. Paul said it like this. We look at things now. We don't, man, things are so bad. So this is what Paul said.
Paul said these are like this.
Yeah. Trouble was so bad, Paul said this was a thing. Either y'all haven't seen trouble. Paul had the advantage of what? Having gone up into heaven and seeing. So he could come back on the earth and tell us these lights. He said, man, trouble's coming. This stuff is, you're at the beginning. You get a little pain. Once every 2 weeks, there's coming a day when the temple of God is going to be brought down. And if I had time, I think I'd get into it next week. But you know you're in the second half, because he says this. I told you, he said the Antichrist will come and deceive many. He said the real Antichrist is going to come. And he's going to set up a statue of himself in the house. And he's telling you, people are going to go. He's going to erect a statue of a likeness of himself, not of Christ and of God, but of himself, and will tell the world, I am he. I'm the one.
Watch out for yourself. Take heed lest someone deceive you. This is why we got to study the Word of God so we know. So we don't panic like the rest of the world. Say, no, this is just this is what he said, what happened. All I got to do is just keep my faith and confidence in him. That's all I got to do.
He'll give me the strength to to stand. He'll give me the strength to get through that last trimester of life when it seems unbearable. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody. Because I had let this part of the sermon go, but he brought it back. And I don't think he brought it back for no reason. Having done all to stand. Stand ye, therefore. And all you have to do is respond to him today. That's all you got to do. He secures your future. Secures your hope. Secures your confidence. Not only in this life, but mother, in the life that is to come. They'll know us by the blood spread over across our heart. That's how it knows. I'll give you this last bit. When they ask you how you made it, don't tell them you made it. Tell them, because of the God I serve, that's how I made it. That's what I like about the old mothers and the old grandmas. They wouldn't waste time. Oh, the Lord brought me. I mean, they just tell you, the Lord brought me. We laughed at it, but they were serious. And now that we're older, we can look at it in a different light. Say, if God brought them over, believe he can do the same for me. If you got it, say, I got it. I'm finished. That's it. Y'all do whatever.
Amen. What a good word. We thank God for the word. We thank the pastor for delivering the word. Amen. We thank you guys for pressing your way to come to church on Sunday. Amen. This Sunday. Amen. The pastor keep asking for a real church, but in reality, he just got us. So we're his real church. Amen. So right now, I just want to open the doors of the church. Amen. If anyone is looking for a church home, we are right here. Our pastor gave us a powerful word, and we are here to welcome you into our church family. So the doors of the church are open. Amen. All right. So now we're going to move to our time of giving, followed by our announcements. We're going to have our sister Courtney Scott come for the offering, and then we'll have our sister Isabella, amen, come for the announcements.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through our giving. This morning, we can give through one of four, I believe, ways of giving, including text to give, online giving, and through our website, as well as Venmo. To give by text, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. Again, that's 73256, and you will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. To give by Venmo, please Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. And for those of us that are gathered in the sanctuary, you'll find two offering baskets to my right, next to the side door for your tithes, offerings, and for your offerings for the preacher. You may also give a special offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App Pastor Jonathan Ford, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. and by Venmo at Jonathan-4-25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us and worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right here on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear if you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus. We encourage you to please stay home. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in-person corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sunday. Don't forget Pastor's Wiley Challenge. Taylor Tabernacle's Men Day baseball game, Saturday, June 29th, 4:05 p.m. We will be tailgating starting at 2:05 p.m. All money is due by May 26th, $40 per person. And Cash App Deacon Tyrone Davis at Ty Davis 422.
Amen. All righty. Pastor, you ready? Amen.
Again, happy Mother's Day to everyone. I'm going to come down. Jermaine's going to join me. We got Mother's Day gifts. So if you're here today and you are a mother, a grandmother, a godmother, some way, shape, or form, I'm going to ask that you can come. We have these gifts for you. So we're going to give this benediction. I'm going to ask Jermaine to give us this benediction. The gifts are going to be brought up. I'm going to ask that you come. Give us a hug, and then the Mother's Day gifts are here for you. Amen. Thanks, Bryce. Bryce is here helping us out. All of these young guys, Jordan was telling me yesterday, all these young guys are so tall. They're so tall. Everybody's just tall. Wow. So here, Jermaine's going to dismiss us, and then, like I said, we're going to invite all mothers to come forward.
Well, hearts and minds are clear. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word, Lord. We thank you for the man of God who brought the word. We ask that you bless each and every mother who is present, those who are watching via live stream. We ask that you bless each and every mother figure, for raising children is definitely something that's left and needed to the village. It's left to the village, and we need each and every one. Lord, we thank you for each and every one. We ask that you continue to bless and touch and cover us as we leave this place so that we may return back safely and prepare to worship once again. Lord, we ask these in all things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mother's going to invite you to come forward.